Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I want to talk tonight on what will we do with our gifts. I'm going to read this passage, verses 1 through 12. It says in Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for all that it teaches us. Thank you for all that it shows us about you. Father, I pray that you would show us tonight the truths that we need to learn. I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us with these things tonight. Father, help us to understand the importance of making you priority in our lives, giving ourselves to you. Father, just pray that you would help us to honor and glorify you. Pray that you would give me clarity of speech and thought tonight as I preach. Pray that you would use me as your channel to proclaim your message. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the traditions of Christmas is exchange of gifts. We rack our brains trying to figure out what do we get for family and friends. It seems to get more difficult every year. And I heard somebody say, "What do you get somebody who has everything? Well, you get them a trash can." Every year we do that and we go through that. But how many of us can remember what gifts we bought for people last Christmas? Think about that. Husband, do you remember what you bought your wife last year? Wives, do you remember what you bought your husband? Dads and moms, remember what you bought your children last year? Okay? How many of us could remember what we received last Christmas? Maybe you've received a very special gift and you remember what you got. Where is that gift today? Where is it? Is it sitting somewhere on a shelf? Is it back in the corner? Are you still using it? What happened to it? Does it hold the same value as the day you received it? Or is it laying somewhere among your other miscellaneous belongings? I would venture to say that most of us are not using the gifts we received last Christmas, let alone the last 5 years. But that thing that we wanted so badly has lost its value. The Bible tells us that we as believers, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we received at least three gifts. We received them at the moment we trusted Him, and each one has a special meaning and a special purpose. And I want to look at those three gifts tonight. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Most of you could probably recite this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is" what? "Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The first gift is eternal life. Before we trusted Christ as our Savior, the only thing that we had in our future was a sentence of death, an eternal separation from God, an eternal torment. But God in His love provided the way for us to be reconciled to Himself through the death and the resurrection of Christ. John chapter 3, verse 36. says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God abideth in him." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Over in John 10, verse 28, Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then you go back to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. It says, "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So we have eternal life. What does that mean for us, that we have eternal life? Well, it means we now have a life that will not end, life that will go for a short time here on this earth, will pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and will be in heaven forever one day with God for eternity. We have life because we have placed our faith in the one who gives life. John 1, 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Life was the light of men." We see in John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." 1 John chapter 1, verse 2, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is the one who gives life. And we have, when we receive that, it's because we have placed our faith and trust in the one who gives life. What is the purpose of eternal life? It's to give us hope. Can you ever, if you ever talk to somebody who doesn't know if they're secure in their salvation, is there any hope in that? I was talking to a lady one time, and she says, every church I go to, the pastor teaches that you can't keep your salvation. I says, why would you put your faith in something you don't know you're going to hang on to? Or that you don't know you can have and keep? When we have eternal life, we know that we have it forever. When something is eternal, we can have confidence it will never end. We don't live in heaven for 1,000 years, and then after 1,000 years, we go through another process and see if we can stay there, or if we can got to go suffer demise some other place. No. Eternity means eternity. Eternal means eternal. And once we receive it at salvation, we never lose it. It gives us hope. It gives us confidence. We have eternal life. Look at the second gift, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. It says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." The second gift that we have received is the Holy Spirit. He comes and indwells our hearts and lives within us as believers. Now, God has not removed us from this sinful earth. Even though we have trusted him as our Savior, he hasn't taken us off of this earth. But until he does, he has placed his seal upon us, and he says, "You are mine." And there's nothing that can change that. You are mine. We belong to him. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He says, you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life. And we see there is nothing that can break the seal that is placed upon us when we trust Christ. There is no one that can take our salvation away from us. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so what is it evidence that we are his children? It's because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Another passage is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What does that mean for us? What does that mean that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are not God's foster children? Foster children can move from place to place to place, from one home to another. We are not God's foster children. We have been adopted into God's family, and he treats us and he sees us as his daughters, his sons. We are his children. Just as sure in John chapter 14, 2, where it says that Christ is preparing a place for us in heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So just as sure as he's up there preparing a place for us, we can be confident that he's going to come back for us. And we can be confident that we will be going to heaven with him. When Christ ascended up to heaven after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in our hearts to be with us. Until how long? Well, Ephesians 1:14 says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until God says, okay, it's time. And he comes and he takes us to heaven and takes us to be with him. And he redeems us to himself fully. So what is the purpose of this gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive? Why do we have the Holy Spirit? Well, John 14, 16, and 17 says, and Jesus is talking here, he says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to be with us forever, to never leave us without help. God knows that if he were to leave us without help, there is no way in our own spiritual strength that we're going to be able to handle what we face in the world. There's no way that we can deal with temptation on our own. There's no way that we can deal with the trials on our own. And so he gives us the Holy Spirit. He says, I give you a comforter. I give you someone who's going to help you, who's always going to be with you. Because you know we needed it. We know we need to have that help. John 14, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Over in chapter 16 of John, verses 13 and 14, excuse me. John 16, 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And so the Holy Spirit is another purpose, is to teach us all things. How many of us wish we knew the way to go in life? The direction we should go every day. You know, we can. As we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time communicating with Him, God tells us the Holy Spirit will help us to know how we should live, help us to know the way wherein we should walk. And so the Holy Spirit is there to teach us. And you know, we really have no excuse that we didn't know better, because the Holy Spirit is there to teach us the truth. It's just that we need to be receptive to it. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us. Another thing that we see the purpose of the Holy Spirit is in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives is to identify us as children of God. You know, when we go through a trial, when we go through a difficulty, when we are chastened by the Lord, you know what our response ought to be? God, thank you that you care enough to do that. Thank you that you care enough to keep me on the right track. Thank you that you care enough to sharpen me because you love me. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is he's there to witness that we are children of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Who's the witness? Didn't we just read about that? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is that witness. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's our second gift. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The third gift is a spiritual gift that we receive at salvation. This gift or these gifts are given to us according to God's purpose in our lives. And he's not going to ask us to do anything to serve him and except that he gives us the enablement to do it. Romans chapter 12 is another passage that talks about these. Romans chapter 12 verses 3 through 8 talks about the spiritual gifts. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God has given us the gifts that we need to serve him. What does that mean for us? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. So our spiritual gifts are given to us that we might do the work of God, that we might do what he asked us to do. And he's given us the tools that we need to be effective for him. You know, if somebody were to place me on a job site somewhere and I said, I want you to go build that house. Great. But you don't have any tools. Okay, then I can't do anything. God places us here. We accept him as our Savior. And he says, I'm going to give you some tools because I want you to serve me effectively. I don't want you to just sit idle. So he gives us the tools that we need by way of spiritual gifts, by way of ability, in order that we might be effective for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is sufficient. God gives us all that we need that we might serve him, that we might do the good works that he wants us to do. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so God gives us the tools to do the good works that he wants us to do. But what is the purpose of these gifts? What is the purpose of the spiritual gifts that we have? Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the purpose is that our lives would reflect the design that God has for us. You know, when God created man in the garden, he had a purpose for man. He gave Adam a purpose for being there. Adam just didn't walk around eating fruit and just doing nothing, swimming in the lagoon or whatever. Adam was there, what did he say? He was there to keep the garden. He was able to dress it and to keep it and take care of it. It wasn't that it was so difficult he couldn't do it. God had enabled him to do that. When Adam sinned, the work got harder. Now he had to work by the sweat of his brow. Now he had to deal with weeds and thorns and all those other things. But God desires for us to do the work that we might walk the way he wants us to walk. We might serve the way he wants us to serve. That's his design for us. Again, we're not to sit idle until the Lord comes back and say, well, hope he comes today. We're to be busy. We're to be serving him. We're to be doing things that glorify him, use our spiritual gifts to fulfill his purpose in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, God has entrusted us with these gifts that we have. And it says in the Bible that we're to be good stewards of those gifts. We're to take those gifts and we're to use them for him. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, by the fact that we're given this word, by the fact that we're given truth, God expects us to take what we have and to use the gifts that we have and to use those to serve him and to glorify him. So I ask the question, what will we do with our gifts? What are we going to do with those gifts? How about, you know, a lot of times the gifts that we get at Christmas end up on a shelf in the back of a closet, or they end up in a box somewhere in the garage. But what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? How about the gift of eternal life? Are we living our lives in a way that others know that we hope and have hope in Christ and in our eternal home in heaven? Do we share the truth of the gospel with others so they can receive the gift of eternal life? Are we continually reminding ourselves that this world is not our home? We're just pilgrims here. You know, we're not to get comfortable in the worldly ways. We're not to get comfortable with the things that the world does. This is just a temporary home for us. Do we live our lives with the confidence of eternal life, or do we despair of life when our focus shifts to our circumstances? Folks, we have eternal life. We have eternity. We have a confidence in Christ because of what he's done in our hearts. How about the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do we respond to his prompting when he wants to correct us or instruct us from God's word? As we're reading our devotions in the morning and we read a verse, it's like, oh, that one hurt. How do we respond? Do we respond and say, God, help me to know how to deal with that. Help me to know how to apply that. How do we respond to his promptings? Do we obey them? We respond in obedience. Do we yield ourselves to God's work in our lives so that we might be filled with the Spirit and be as effective for God as we can be and as God designs us to be? Do we live in such a way that reflects the fact that he is always with us? Do we guard ourselves? Do we guard our eyes? Do we guard our ears? Do we guard our senses so that we protect ourselves and keep ourselves from sin? We realize he's with us all the time, everywhere we go. Do we guard ourselves? Do we live that way? And then what about the gift of our spiritual gifts? Are we being good stewards with those things that God has entrusted to us? Are we using them to glorify him, or are we using them to promote ourselves? Are we encouraging others to use their spiritual gifts for the Lord? You know, you may see somebody and say, you know, they really have a gift in that area. Encourage them. Just put a word in, say, hey, I appreciate what you did there. I think God could really use you to continue on in that type of thing. Encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them to use their spiritual gifts. Are we using our gifts so that one day we will hear our Father say, "Well done"? I trust that every one of us desires to hear that one day. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What are we doing with the gifts God has given us? I trust that we'll purpose not to put them on a shelf, but that we'll use them to glorify God and be a light to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have entrusted to us these gifts. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and the hope and the confidence that it gives us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the help and the instruction that he gives us. And thank you for the gifts of spiritual gifts that you've given us. You've enabled us for service for you. Father, help us in all these things to honor and glorify you. Help us to be a light to those around us, that others might see that they too can have hope in you, hope in their eternity, hope in life that doesn't involve living in the worldly ways of the world. It involves living with our focus on you. Father, thank you and pray that you be honored and glorified through our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.